for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, July the 8th, 1994. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the speaker of the evening.
Thank you, Lord. Well, let's all stand again. We just sat down, brother. Let's stand back up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to see Brother Art again. Brother Art and I used to be in the same fellowship in Tulsa about 20 years ago. And his son, Daniel, was in the basket, little basket there, coming to the meetings. And I understand now he's 6'7", so pretty good size. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord, for this precious time tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Give us unction in the Holy Ghost tonight, Lord. Lord, in ourselves, we know we can do nothing, but we submit to you, Lord. You are the Lord, and you are the Christ, and we love you tonight. We worship you. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. How many believe we're in a growth process? How many want to grow up in the Lord? Well, how many know there's some pains in growing up? A whole lot of pains. You know, Bill's growing. I met Bill around 70, what was it, 75. And, well, a little before 75. It was about 74. So we've known each other about 20 years. But I see Bill and Peggy, they've really grown in that 20 years, and so have I. I mean, we've all grown if we're moving in the Lord. And I appreciate seeing people grow in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, in Paul's day, there was a church, the Corinthian church, they were carnal, and even after a period of time, they stayed carnal. Well, how many know we all have some carnal ways and carnal traits, but God wants us to grow up. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm not preaching on that tonight, but anyway, that's what I want to touch on. But we're going from the milk to the meat, the Lord willing, from the carnal realm to the spiritual realm. From the natural realm to the supernatural. From death to, come on,
life.
From the seen to the unseen. From the temporal to the eternal. From the visible
to the
invisible. From immaturity
to maturity.
From unrest
to rest.
And from babes
to
sons. Hallelujah. How many want to be a son? Well, how many know we got to grow up to be a son? Praise God. I'm so thankful that I have a desire to be a son. How many know we haven't reached that perfection yet? But I'm you know, totally, but we're on our way. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So we are His habitation. We are His temple. We are His house. We are His sanctuary. We are His building. And He's made His abode, His dwelling place in us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, turn over to Acts chapter 17.
Hallelujah.
In the Word of God, Acts chapter 17. How many thank God for His Word tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 17. Hallelujah. Chapter 17. And I want to look at verse 29. Everybody read it with me if you have your Bible. Acts 17, 29. Brother Johnson and I used to be in a fellowship with a brother called Brother Owen Richardson. In fact, Brother Richardson came here once or twice with me. He was a blind brother. And he used to travel with me a lot, and he was really involved in this end time word.
Yes.
He loved it. He preached it. And so tonight, I know he's really rejoicing in heaven.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And as Bill said, they cannot be made complete or perfect without us. How many know God's doing a work there, and He's doing a work here as well? And in Acts 17, verse 29, let's read it together. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Notice the little phrase, we ought not to think. How many know it's our stinking thinking that gets us in trouble?
Yeah.
It's the way we think. And sometimes our thinking is wrong and has to be corrected. And in fact, most of the time it has to be corrected. Isn't that right? But he said here, notice, the latter part of this verse said, graven by art and man's device. And that word graven is the word, same word for the mark over in Revelation. I mean, no, he talks about the mark of the beast in Revelation 13, 14, 16, and 19, and 15, somewhere through there. Different scriptures on the mark of the beast. And this word is karagma. I believe that's the right way to pronounce it. But it's the word for mark or graven. Now, there's a scripture in the Old Testament. If you hold your place, look in Exodus 20, verse 4, just a second. Exodus 20 and verse 4 is basically, I don't know what the Hebrew word, I haven't looked it up, but still, I just want to look at this verse. 20, verse 4 of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 4. And it says here, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Now, how many know that it's very easy to go get a Buddha off a mantle or some other kind of idol and destroy it? But how many know there's some idols here, though, that's not always that easy to take out unless we want them out? And it takes the power of God sometimes to purge that idolatry that's in our minds. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so this word back in Acts 17, this word karagma for mark is graven. And the word graven means to sketch or etching. And it means an impress or something that is carved. Now, if a man is a person is an artist, how many know he's got to see it in his mind before he can do it with his hand? He's got to see it in his mind's eye, and then he takes the hand and he begins to draw the picture, whatever he sees. And same way with the sculpturer. The same way, you've got to see it in order to begin to work. So we're dealing with something here tonight. We're dealing with something that's in the mind and something in the hand. Now, in this verse, chapter 17, verse 29, he said, graven by art and man's device. And this word art here, the word is techne, I believe it is. It means technical. It's like the word technical, technology, techniques, and so forth. So we're dealing with a handiwork. We're dealing with handicraft. We're dealing with an occupation, a work of the hands. How many thank God you got hands tonight?
Amen.
I thank God for these hands. Hallelujah. And it means a craft or a trade or a skill in the natural, as we would say. And so, and then the next verse, look at the next part. And man's what? Device. This word device means inner thoughts, inner reasonings, inner thinking. So we're dealing with the thinking and the work of the hands. Amen. Beastly thinking, beastly behavior. Now, if we have the Christ mind, how many know our hands going to do right?
That's right.
But if we have a beast mind, our hands will not always do right. But how many know that God is ridding beasts out of our land today?
Yes. Yep.
Now, when I say ridding beasts, how many know there's, we got to look at different ways. Now, there is the beast nature in man. Isn't that right? Then there is, and that beast we know is in the world. We know it's out there. It's coming up out of the nations and now the sea and so forth. But yet there is a beast in us.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
And there's a beast in the church. And the beast also is demonic powers. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There are demonic powers that are beastly. Now look in Revelation. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost lead me. I got all kind of notes here.
Come on.
But I'm going to let the Spirit lead me. Go to Revelation. Have you enjoyed the messages this morning, this afternoon?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for the brethren. Thank God for all the brethren here.
Yeah.
Thank God for all the ministry we've had. Amen. I appreciate seeing Brother Moody again. It's good to see Gene again. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
God's given him a lot in deliverance. I tell you, we need one another. How many believe that?
Amen.
Revelation 6. Revelation 6. And we know there's four horsemen coming forth. White horse, red horse, black horse, and another horse. And we know that, I believe we're going to see these horsemen hit this country.
Yeah.
And I think we've already seen it to a measure, but I believe we're going to see it more.
Yeah.
Now, the red horse, we know, represents war and blood and all kind of things that's happening, death and killing and so forth. And then there's the black horse, represents famine, represents spiritual darkness, represents other things. But if you come on down in chapter 6, he said in verse 8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Actually, it means a green or greenish color, I think, also, of the translation. And his name that sat on him was called something. Death, come on, and hell. And notice, hell followed with Him. How many believe hell's real tonight?
Amen.
They can spiritualize it away and say there's no hell, but I'll tell you, there's a hell. I don't want to be separated from God. Are you in that place?
Amen.
Amen. And hell followed with Him, and power is given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, here it is, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with something else. The beast, come on,
of the earth.
Now, I believe that beasts have been let loose from the pit upon this earth towards humanity. To kill, to destroy, to maim, and whatever. How many believe that?
Amen.
I believe the demonic powers have been let loose out of the pit of hell. You know, in Revelation, this beast is a seven-headed beast and 10 horns. That's 17 if you count them both together. And 17 has a negative and a positive to it. How many know that Joseph was 17 when they threw him in the pit? The powers of darkness come against that boy to destroy him, but God intervened. Isn't that right? Because God had other plans. How many know that the enemy has a plan to destroy you, but aren't you glad for His mercy? And God intervenes for it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so, and I could show you more on the number 17, but it represents the fullness of Satan coming out of the pit. And so these beasts are let loose upon the earth to destroy. And I believe they move in companies and in troops. How many know these restaurant killings? That's troops. That's demonic powers let loose. Come on. To maim and destroy humanity. Can you say amen? Now, he said here in this verse, and with death and with the beast of the earth. So when this seal is let loose, we see there's going to be much beast let loose. Now, you come on down to the sixth seal. How many believe, would you think we're about the sixth seal? I believe we're at the sixth seal. We're coming to the sixth seal. Now, others may disagree and sit different. That's fine. But look down to verse 12. Hallelujah. Look down to verse 12. And I beheld when he opened what? The sixth seal. And lo, there was a great, come on,
earthquake.
And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as something.
Blood.
I want you to notice that. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken with a mighty wind. Now, I believe the heavenly bodies will be shaken up there, okay, the powers that be there. But I also believe that stars represent many things in the Scripture. How many know that we Christians can be stars? Isn't that right? Angels can be stars. Come on, amen? Even Israel in the Old Testament was represented by stars. So, there's a lot of things in the Scriptures concerning stars. And I believe the Lord spoke to me many years ago, say 10 years ago, and that He told me that the stars are going to fall. That's the word He spoke to me. As I just laid my Bible down, heard the Holy Ghost say that. The stars are falling. So when this sixth seal is open, and I believe the sixth seal represents war and other things, but nevertheless, stars are going to fall. Now go to Daniel with me, chapter 8, just a minute. Daniel chapter 8, and let's look at the Scripture together here. In Daniel chapter 8. And I want to look at verses 9. And here the Bible talks about the little horn. Alexander's kingdom was broken up into four parts after the big horn was broken up. Remember that? And the Bible here in chapter 8 tells us that out of one of these places came forth a little horn that waxed exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and toward what? The pleasant land. All right, now look at verse 10. Now, there's a lot I could say. I'm just skimming over this. It waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it did something. It cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Now, this is yet to happen. I believe there are many going to fall from the heavenlies and have fallen, are going to fall yet. And how many know we better pray we don't fall?
Amen.
How many know that pride will cause us to fall? And when I began the full-time ministry many years ago, the Lord warned me that I was to stay down, go down. He warned me not to exalt myself. How many know we need to be reminded of that every day? Sister preached on the pride this morning, and that is Leviathan. Now, he said something here. Notice, he magnified himself even to the prince of hosts, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary
was cast down. Well, how many know we're the sanctuary today? How many believe that? Amen. Now notice something here. Stars are cast down in verse 10. In verse 11, the sanctuary is cast down. In verse 12, notice truth is cast down to the ground. And then in verse 13, the latter part, the sanctuary and the hosts are to be trodden underfoot. Now go to Revelation 11.
Hallelujah.
This has not happened yet. But I tell you, it's going to happen.
Yes.
Revelation 11. Now to me, one of the key chapters of Revelation is chapter 11 and chapter 12. Hallelujah. But I just want to look at one verse or two here. Verse 1. Everybody read verse 1. Let's get a little exercise here tonight. Verse 1. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Let's stop right there just a minute. Now notice specifically says, measure the temple of God. So God's temple is going to be measured at this time. I believe this is the time of the great tribulation. I believe it starts here. And there is a temple people who are worshiping and who are measured. Now, what measurement must we come up to? How many know it's Ephesians chapter 4? The measurement of the stature, come on, of the fullness of Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And how do we do that? By, come on, submitting to Christ in apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. How many believe that?
Yes.
Now, so we see that this temple people are measured here in this chapter, chapter 11, verse 1. And then in verse 2, notice something else. The court that's without the temple. So something here is called the outer court. It's without this temple. He said something. Leave it out. Now, what is in the outer court? It is sin and it is self. And how many know in us, at times, there is sin and there is self? We may be filled with the Holy Ghost, but how many know our attitude can still be out of court? Our mentality, come on, amen? Yeah. Our lifestyle can be out of court because we think of number one, isn't that right?
That's right.
But the court that is without the temple, leave it out and measure it not. I believe the people God's raising up in this end time are not going to just think about themselves. They're going to reach out to others. How many know that we need to see others helped?
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
We need to have a burden for others, and I believe the people in this camp do. I believe Glenn and Irma have a burden for others. They've helped so many people through here. And ministries that come in here, so many have helped others. But how many know we've been helped? I got help here. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I got help through the deliverance ministry. That's why I believe in it. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I remember when I walked through that depression, how the powers of darkness was coming against me. But praise God, I came here and got some help. I still need a lot of help. How about you?
Amen.
The court that's without this temple, leave it out. Measure it not. It's given to the who? The Gentiles, the heathen, the nations, and the holy city. Shall they do something? Tread underfoot how long, brethren?
3.5 years.
They're going to tread this outer court underfoot. How many thank God that you were blood washed by grace? Come on. And it was free. And you walked in the outer court area, didn't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God for those in the outer court. But how many know we can't stay there?
Right.
It's time to move on up. Isn't that right?
Amen.
It's time to move up. Praise the Lord. In the Lord. And so we see that God is raising up this people here in the Scriptures. And so we'll go a little further. Now go over with me to Mark chapter 1. I want to get back on my subject that I'm going towards now. Chapter 1 of Mark. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus is our example? He is the example, and if we don't see Him, we miss it. But in chapter 1, how many know Jesus was tempted how long? 40 days. And He was tempted by the devil. Now look down to chapter 1 in verse 12. It says, after God had said He was His Son, in verse 12, and immediately the Spirit driveth Him into the wilderness. The wilderness. How many know the wilderness is real tonight? Now, who led him in there? Who led him into that place? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost led him into the wilderness. Who's going to lead you into it? Amen. Who's going to bring you out of it? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. The one who leads you in, leads you out if you allow him to. But do you know what? Many get destroyed in the wilderness. They get destroyed right in that time of testing, don't they? Come on, their bones bleach. Isn't that right? Now look at the next verse. And there was in the wilderness, in that testing place where he was 40 days, he was in that place 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast. Wild beast. And these aren't puppy dogs and kitty cats. As Brother Liddicky spoke about last night. These are wild beasts. And notice, as he was in this test with wild beasts, angels,
yes,
God's messengers, came and ministered unto him.
Yeah.
How many has ever felt like you need a messenger come to minister to you?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, we were talking today, you know, I believe we can ask the Lord to send his angels.
Amen.
Now, I don't just talk to an angel, but I speak to God and say, God, send the angel. Amen.
Amen.
Into my situation or situations.
It,
there you go. That's exactly right. So remember that. Praise the Lord. And Brother Ludica brought out to me today. You know, remember the angel appeared to her first. Remember that? And then he asked for the Lord to bring back that messenger, which he did. And so we can ask the Lord. But God, how many know it's up to the Lord to do it? And so the angels came and ministered to Jesus here while he was in the wilderness with these wild beasts. Praise the Lord. Now, turn over to another scripture, Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel 14. I'm going to take you through a few scriptures here. Now, Ezekiel 14, I've got so much I'd like to throw at you, but we'll get out as much as we can. Ezekiel 14, I want to look at verse 15. Ezekiel 14, 15. I wish I had another Bible there because I got a lot of things written down in it I don't have in this one. How many carry different Bibles when you minister? I got about four or five different ones. But in chapter 14, verse 15, notice, if I cause noisome beasts. Now, anybody got another translation of that word noisome?
Wild.
Wild. Okay, good. Okay. So if I cause wild beasts to pass through the land. Well, how many know Jesus faced those wild beasts?
Yeah.
Huh? And notice, to pass through the land. You believe we got any wild beasts in our land?
Yeah.
Got some of them cast out this week, haven't we? And they spoil it. Hallelujah. I don't know what that means in another translation, because like I said, does it mean cut off? What does it mean? Childless, okay, all right. So that could even be abortion, couldn't it?
Ravage,
okay. It could be, or no children, whatever. So that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of these beasts. I mean, no, there'd be a lot of fear. Isn't that right? Well, how many know there's a lot of fear in the church when it comes to demonic powers and deliverance? Come on. You know there is. People don't want to touch that. Isn't that right? Now go over to Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 12, I'm going to give you a scripture here. Jeremiah 12, verse 9, I believe it is. Jeremiah 12, 9. And the Lord says here, yes, mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts. Notice, all the beasts of the field, or of the world, would say, come to devour. Now let's see where they're devouring. Look at the next verse. Many pastors, shepherds, have destroyed my vineyard. How many know that's true? In some places. But thank God there's godly shepherds that hadn't destroyed. Come on, they built up. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. Why? How? By these beasts coming in to devour. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness, and so forth. So through ministries, the beasts have trodden down God's portion. Now look in Isaiah chapter 56, I believe it is, the Lord gave me tonight. Isaiah 56. He just gave me these scriptures sitting over there tonight. I had other things here prepared, but we're just touching a few of these. Isaiah 56, and look at verse 9. Here are the beasts here. These powers of darkness is coming against the people of God. And he said in verse 9, all ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. How many know the devil's got a chainsaw?
Yes.
Come on now. And how many know he'd like to cut your tree down if he could? Yes, he would. So he's saying, come on, beast, come on into the, come in and devour, you beast in the forest. Verse 10, his watchman. Now, Jack talked about that this morning. Wasn't that a good word? His watchmen. Now, these are shepherds as well. His watchmen are blind. No more revelation, insight, perception, discernment from the Holy Ghost. How many believe we need some blindness to take off of our inner man?
Amen.
That we might see correctly and properly. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant, which speaks of spiritual darkness. They're all dumb dogs that cannot bark. There is no sounding of the trumpet, no warning, is what he's saying here. How many believe we need some warnings in the church, too?
Yes.
Come on. And notice, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. And they're all greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain. From his quarter. They're selfish. They want everything for themselves. Well, how many know that day is over? I said that day is over.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to give you another scripture. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. And I'm going to show you in a minute 7 ways how we're going to overcome the beast. How many want to be an overcomer? 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to look at verse 32. 15:32. And Paul said, go back to verse 31 first. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Notice, who has to die? It is I. It is I. And we know the middle letter in sin is I. If after the manner of men I have fought with the beast at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not, let us eat, drink, and tomorrow we die. But notice the phrase, I have fought with the beast at Ephesus. How many know the higher you go on God, the more warfare you're going to experience?
Yes.
But the more power you have, come on, to defeat your enemies. Isn't that right? Amen? So Paul said, I had fought with these beasts. And you know, I've studied Ephesus a lot on Ephesus in the Scriptures. And how many know there was a lot of things? How many know the church at Ephesus lost their first love? There was grievous wolves who came into this church. Come on. Savage wolves. There were false apostles who came into this church. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
There was a lot of things that came into Ephesus. And yet Paul said in this city, he had fought with these beasts. These wild beasts. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to some scriptures. I want to show you here. First of all, go with me to Luke, and then I'll get into 7 things. Go to Luke chapter, Luke 13. I want to show you a couple of things here real quick. Luke 13. How many know that Jesus went around with his eyes open? How many know we need to get our eyes open? Luke 13:10, as he was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, one of the synagogues. How many know Jesus cast a lot of demons out of these synagogues? Sure did. In fact, the Bible said in Mark chapter 1, he went throughout all Galilee there, throughout those synagogues and cast out devils. How many know there's some churches that need some deliverance today? They need the ministry of Jesus again, isn't that right? Now, here in chapter 13, verse 11, notice something here. It says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, which is 666, three sixes. And notice she was bowed together, or bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. She couldn't see the heavenly. She couldn't look up like you and I and look up at the blue skies. She could just see the earthly carnal realm. I mean, that's what a lot of people can see today, just the carnal realm. They can't see, come on, any higher. Now, it says here, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. And notice, he said to this woman, thou art loose from, come on, thine infirmity. Now, notice, he's calling things that be not as though they are. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And then he laid hands on her, and that, of course, that spirit left her. She glorified God. Then there was a ruler here that got upset. How many know there's rulers that get upset when God starts moving? Huh? Oh, my, they sure do. Now, notice what it says here. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass on the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman being something? Not just any woman. A daughter of Abraham. Hallelujah. I mean, no, she's a faith believer. And notice, whom Satan hath bound low these, come on, 18 years. Again, 666. Be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Amen. Now, right here in this temple, there were three people, wasn't there? Huh? There was Jesus, there was a woman, and there was the ruler. Set this way. There was the woman who was a bound woman. How many believe the church is bound tonight?
Amen.
How many know there's areas in you and I that we're still bound?
Amen.
Come on. And then there was the blind ruler who was also right here in the synagogue. But also in the synagogue was Jesus, the blessed deliverer. Aren't you glad that He is our deliverer tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you have the bound woman, you have the blind ruler, and you have a blessed deliverer. His wonderful name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus did two things right here as I look at the Scriptures. He rebuked this blind ruler. How many know we have a blind ruler in us called the soul? There's parts of our soul that are blind tonight. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Oh, yes. My, I wanted to preach on the soul tonight. You stirred me up yesterday talking on the soul. But we won't go that way. But he rebuked this blind ruler. Well, we are talking this way. We rebuked the blind. He rebuked the blind ruler. And notice, he healed this bound woman. Right on the Sabbath day. Right in the synagogue. Well, how many believe today that there's three in us? Come on. There's an area in us that's bound, right?
Amen.
We're part of the church, aren't we?
Amen.
Sure we are. Well, do you believe that a blind ruler can be in us? But can Jesus be in us? Certainly. I mean, remember that Hannah was praying in the Old Testament.
Yes.
This bound woman, because she was bound, because she could not have a child.
Right.
But how many know God shut up her womb?
Amen.
God shut up her womb, and yet she was crying out to God. And yet the old order Eli said, well, he thought she was drunk.
Yes.
How many know the old order cannot recognize true intercession? Huh? And we know she said, God, if you'll give me this man, shall I give him back to you, and so forth. And so, there was Hannah, the bound woman. There was Eli, the blind ruler, the blind priest. But thank God, God brought forth through man who was to help deliver Israel. Praise the Lord. How many believe in this end time? That this church is going to be set free? Huh? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. God's raising up a company that's going to bring forth deliverance. Let's look at this in Obadiah. Turn to Obadiah. Obadiah in the Old Testament. How many read the Old Testament? Good. Actually, they are one book. Obadiah. And look at verse 17.
Amen.
It says, but upon Mount Zion. Obadiah 17. Upon Mount Zion. Now, who's standing with Jesus in Revelation 14, 144,000 on Mount, come on,
Zion.
On Mount Zion. Notice, shall be what? Deliverance. You want to be part of Zion? How many know you got to get involved with deliverance somewhere?
Right.
Maybe in your own life first. Number two, there shall be holiness. And I want to tell you, I don't think we can be holy without any kind of deliverance, apart from deliverance. I think God, I believe as we submit to God and we are delivered ourselves, holiness begins to be worked in us. Isn't that right? Our sanctification. And the house of Jacob shall do something. Possess, come on, there.
Possessions.
Now look down to verse 21. And saviors, that literally deliverers, shall come up on Mount Zion. And here's why. To judge something. To judge the Mount of Esau, or to judge the flesh. Amen? And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Amen. So God is raising up a people. God's raising up His deliverance. How many know that all creation is truly groaning tonight, waiting for, come on, the manifestation, the revelation, the appearing of the sons of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now let's go to Revelation, and let me give you seven ways how to overcome the beast. I won't be real lengthy tonight because we're going to leave and go home after the meeting and drive back tonight. But let's go to Revelation, and I want to go to chapter 20. We'll start there. And in chapter 20, verse 4, it says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them." So somebody's sitting on the thrones. How many believe they've overcome some things?
Yes.
Now, notice, "And judgment," this is what Daniel tells us, "and judgment was given to them that sat on the thrones." Hallelujah. Now, he says, "And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God." Now, look at this next part. "And which had not worshipped the beast, or his image, or received his mark upon their foreheads or in the hands, and they lived in the reign of Christ 1,000 years. So the first thing is, how many know we cannot worship this beast system in the earth?
Amen.
We've got to be able to discern it, recognize it, and know that it's not of God, and not worship that thing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now look over just a minute to Revelation 13. Look in Revelation 13 a minute. I know he talks about a lot of things in this chapter. But just look at one verse, verse 3. He said, "I saw one of his heads," and how many heads did he have? He had seven heads, didn't he? Yes, 10 horns, but he had 7 heads. So one of the heads was wounded to death. Now, how many has ever seen a picture of some guy drawn, an artist, of some man, and he's dying, and he's, you know, he comes back to life? Well, this thing had 7 heads, and it goes back a long way, and I won't go into that, but notice something. "As it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed," but look at this, "all the world did something, wondered after this beast." And that word "wondered," if you look it up in one definition, literally means they went insane towards this thing. How many know there is a spirit we know of insanity in the world? We know that. But let me tell you something. There is a spirit of insanity on God's people at times. Because it says He makes the diviners mad. And those that move in divination, whether it be a prophet or whoever, how many know that we impart, if we move in divination instead of the Spirit of God, we impart, hear me, that madness or insanity to God's people. And there are people that's been under, come on, false prophets and divination so much that they cannot tell the difference between the true and the false.
Right, yeah.
And they've come under the spirit of madness and insanity. How many believe that?
Amen.
I want to show you this scripture. Go over with me just a minute to Isaiah. Is it Isaiah I want to go to? I believe it is. Chapter 44, I believe it is. Just a couple of scriptures here. Isaiah 44. Let's look at that now together. And so the whole world went after this beast. They literally went insane, you see. Now, what is the beast system? How many know the beast system represents the political system? The false prophet represents the religious system. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm going to tell you something, what I believe. It's my opinion. I can't change anybody. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. But I think Christians are too involved with politics. Now, how many know we need to vote? We need to do our duty. Come on, as a Christian, as the Lord directs us. But how many know Jesus has to be first, above, come on, politics? Isn't that right? Oh, Mike, oh, you wouldn't want to hear everything I want to get on and unload on that. Okay. Okay. Let's go to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, verse 25. Notice what it says here. Here it is. It says back here, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, and that turneth, notice, wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge, come on,
foolish.
Amen? Now, turn with me to another scripture. Look in Jeremiah 14, 14. Jeremiah 14, 14. And it says this, then the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy, come on, lies in my name. You know what lies are? It's the tail of the dragon in Revelation. Because in Isaiah, chapter 9? It says those that teach lies are the tail of the dragon. Or the tail. Excuse me. They prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision. And what else?
Divination.
Divination. They're going to impart this spirit of insanity and madness to people. A thing of naught and the deceit of their own hearts. Can you say amen? Look in Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50, verse 38. Jeremiah 50, verse 38. And it says, a drought. How many know there's a lot of Christians in a drought tonight? A drought is upon her waters. Waters represents people. And they shall be dried up, for it is notice, it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Idolatry brings madness. 38, verse 38, sister. Verse 38. Look at Hosea 9, 7. A couple more scriptures, then we've got to get back to those 7 points. Hosea 9, 7. Hosea 9, 7. It said, the days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. How many believe God's going to send a visitation? I believe it. I believe it's going to be a mighty visitation. Hallelujah. I do. And it said, the days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. Here it is. Now look at this. Here's why. For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. Iniquity and great hatred brings madness. Can you see that?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, anyway, let's go back to Revelation now. We see in Revelation 20 that there was a people, and I believe they're the overcomers, that would not worship this beast, this image, and, you know, receive the mark and so forth. Praise God. There's going to be somebody that will not bend or budge or bow. Amen? God has a remnant that will not surrender to an evil force. How many know that the three Hebrew children were the only three out of the whole multitude that would not bow to that image in the book of Daniel? Isn't that right? Just three of them. God has a remnant that He's raising up that will not bow. Amen? Even to death, they will not bow to the enemy. Come on, somebody say amen. And I believe we're going to be tested for our faith as we've never been tested. I met a man in London just recently. He said within 2 years the church will be under great persecution. God gave him a revelation on it. And so he was a precious man of God. I just met him and he told me that. He said God had spoken to him. Less than 2 years. It's been over a year now. So I believe how many know we're beginning to feel it even here in the nation? Isn't that right? Okay. Now, let's go to another scripture. Let's see how we overcome the beast. Turn to Revelation chapter 13, and just hold your place. Then go to chapter 10. Got two fingers? I want to show you there's a people going to overcome the beast, right? All right, look at chapter 10 first, then we'll go to 13. Look in chapter 10. I saw another mighty angel. Well, if you saw another, that means you'd seen one before. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, from the spirit realm. And notice this one is clothed with a cloud. Cloud represents the glory of God. And a rainbow was upon his head. How many know John saw that in chapter 4?
Yeah.
And his face, this is Matthew 17, his face as it were the sun. Jesus' face shone like the sun, didn't it? And notice his feet were like pillars, come on, of
fire.
Praise God. John saw that in chapter 1. Not only did he see the Lord, but he saw the body of Christ, I believe, as well. But nevertheless, he saw these feet like pillars of fire. Well, how many know Jesus, our head, came 2,000 years ago? How many know he's waiting on the feet company to arise? Same anointing came. How many know he was anointed on his head and on his what? Feet. Amen? How many believe he's anointing this feet company?
Yes.
Moses saw the land, but how many know Joshua walked in it?
Yes.
You know, a lot of people see a lot of things and don't walk in nothing. How many know it's one thing to see it, but you got to walk in it?
Right.
There's some real overcoming to begin to walk. Now, he saw these feet. Praise God. And notice they were pillars of fire. How many know pillars? Same word. This word pillar is the same there. He'll make us a pillar in the temple of his God. Huh? Paul saw some pillars there in Galatians, you see, concerning, I think, John and Peter, you see. God has some pillars coming forth, called overcomers. God has this feet company. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. How many believe that he is the lion of the tribe of Judah?
Yeah.
Glory! His name is Jesus. Now, how many know we need the lamb nature and the lion nature? We need the lamb nature when we deal with one another. And we need the lion nature when we're dealing with our enemy. And we got plenty of them, don't we? But this lion is roaring. When he had cried, notice, seven thunders uttered their voices. And later on down, John's told to eat this little book up. Isn't that right? And when he's told to eat it, he said, your belly, it'll be sweet in your mouth, but bitter in your belly. That means at the end of this age, we've got to take the sweet with the bitter.
Right.
How many believe that?
Yeah.
How many know they do come, those two things? Now notice back here with me. Look back to verse 2. It says here, he put his right foot where? Come on, help me now. On the sea, and his left foot on the
earth.
All right, look in Revelation 13. Look at verse 1. John saw a beast rise up out of the sea, out of humanity. Huh? And then down verse 11, here's the second beast who is a counterfeit to the Holy Spirit, which is the false prophet, this religious thing. I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. So when that angel put his foot on the sea on the earth, somebody at the end of this age called a foot company, come on, he's going to overcome the beast and the false prophet.
Amen.
Hmm?
Yes.
And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he's got dragon breath. Speaks like a dragon. Look at verse 12 now. Look at verse 12. Notice, he exercises all the power of the first beast. The false prophet has the same power as the beast. The Holy Spirit has the same power as Jesus. How many believe that?
Amen.
Now notice, before him. And he causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. The Holy Spirit causes us to worship Jesus. How many believe that? Whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. How many know the Holy Ghost does not do things just for show? Come on. He has a purpose every time he does something. He doesn't do it for a show. Isn't that right? And deceives them that dwell on the earth. The Holy Spirit will never deceive us. He is the Spirit of truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. And of course, these were false miracles. The Holy Spirit gives us power to do the right kind of miracles. Saying to them that dwell on the earth. Now notice the word earth is mentioned here. It's mentioned, I know, in verse many times here. This word earth speaks of the carnal realm. And it says here, notice, to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by sword and did live. Well, how many believe the Holy Spirit gives us power to come into His image? Come on. And into His likeness. Huh? Amen. So it's a complete, total counterfeit. And notice in verse 15, He had power to give life to the image of the beast. This image looked just like the beast system, didn't it? Now, if the enemy can't get you in the political field or world government, how many know he'll get you in religious government? I didn't say church government. I'm talking about the true church. But he'll get you into a religious government. Huh? Now, notice what it says here. He had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as that would not worship the image of the beast should be what? Killed. Now look in, hold your place, look in John 16. How many believe we're going to be again tested for our faith? Look in verse 2. Well, look at verse 1. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you that you should not be offended," or literally upset. "They shall put you out of the synagogues." Brother Ludwig, you can write a book on that. "Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you..." How many know people can kill you not just with a sword either? They can kill you with their words, and they can kill your influence. Come on, in a community, in a, wherever you are. Huh? How many believe the people's tried to kill this place right here?
Amen.
All the negative talk throughout the land. But how many know that they haven't succeeded?
Right.
And they won't?
That's right.
Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
"Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think.
Uh-huh.
That he's doing God a great service, isn't he?
Right.
"And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." How many believe that? It's my opinion that the greatest persecution coming is going to be religious persecution in the days ahead. That's going to be a lot of it. A lot of it. Now, back here in Revelation 13, it says, in verse 15 again, it said, "He had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small, great, rich, and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads," and so forth. There's just so much I could get into here. I can't even get into tonight. But the thing is, this image... I mean, no, an image looks like the real.
Yeah.
Hmm? And I believe, if I can say it this way, I believe preachers have built an image. Amen? And it looks like the first. But it's counterfeit and it's false. That's all I'll say on that. Now, let's go. Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Daniel 7. Daniel 7. I told you I just can speak a little while. Daniel 7. Daniel 7, look at verse 21. How many want to overcome the beast? First thing I said, we'll not worship the beast, right? Second thing is the feet company is going to overcome the beast. Here's the third thing. Look in chapter 7, verse 21. "I beheld the same horn made war with the saints." How many is a saint tonight?
Amen.
Amen. "And prevail against them." Notice, but until. Until what? "Until the Ancient of Days came." Literally, Christ comes in a people.
Amen.
"And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. The time came, saints possessed the kingdom." Thank God for that. Now look down to verse 25, "He shall speak great words against the Most High," that's blasphemy, "and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." You ever felt like you just wore out? I know Irma felt. Feels like it. I mean, we all get worn out sometimes. That literally means to wear them out mentally, though. To wear them out mentally. Now notice, I mean, our battle today is in the mind. To wear out, to wear them out mentally, literally. "The saints are the Most High. They are God's people. And think to change times and laws." How many believe it's happened in Washington?
Yes.
Sure has. It has happened already. "And they shall be given," notice, "they shall be given into His hand until a time, times, and dividing of time," which I believe is 3.5 years. "But the judgment shall sit, they shall take away," come on, "His dominion to consume and destroy it even to the end. How many know God's people's taken over with the Lord? Not the devil. And they're going, literally, the saints of God, which judgment was given to them, and they're going to take away His dominion, they're going to consume it, and they're going to destroy it even to the end. And they're going to take over the kingdom under Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, turn to one other scripture, Revelation 15. Bill's probably got all these marked. Revelation 15. How many want to be a worshiper?
Amen.
There's so much in these chapters. We're just running over them. But my, you know. I saw another sign in heaven.
Yes.
Great and marvelous. These seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. How many believe God's wrath is going to hit the earth?
Oh, yes.
You know, there's a scripture that says this in Revelation. I'll just quote it. It says Revelation 6:17. I believe it is. For the great day of His wrath has come, who shall be able? Who shall be able to stand?
Yes.
Well, He tells us in chapter 7, those that sealed. How many believe He's sealing His people?
Hallelujah.
He's going to seal His people. He is sealing His people. Now, back here in 15, He said that these plagues, these bold judgments, these vials are going to be poured out. And notice, they're filled with the wrath of God. Amen. How many know vengeance belongs to God? Next verse. I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, them that had gotten the victory. Victory, the word victory is overcomer.
Yes.
Over the beast. Notice the word over is like overcomer. Over the beast. Over His image. Over His mark. Over the number of His name. Stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And they sing the songs of Moses.
Oh,
servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints. Look at the word ways there. You know what God's ways are? God's ways are His judgments. Look down to verse 4. Look at verse 4. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord? Glorify Thy name, for Thou art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest.
Yes.
And when you study on the ways of God, you see that it is God's judgment.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I mean, when the judgments of the Lord are in the earth, the Bible said the world shall learn righteousness.
Yes.
Isn't that right? How many believe midnight's coming?
Yes.
Tribulation's coming. And yet there's a people here going to be a worshiper. Look at Psalms 119. Just a few more things here. Psalms 119. Hallelujah. And I think it's 60-something I want. Oh, be off there. I bet you got it marked. I got a different Bible. Psalms 119. 62. Thank you very much. At midnight. At midnight. Hallelujah. I will rise and be fearful. No. I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because, here it is, of Thy righteous judgments.
Yes.
Hallelujah. How many know God judged Egypt at midnight?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, how many know He put a big old clamp on Rover's mouth?
Yeah.
Not a dog wagged their tongue, come on, at the people of God when they come out of Egypt. God put him in a headlock, didn't He?
Yes.
How many know the dogs have been barking?
Yeah.
Huh? But how many know at midnight God's going to put a clamp on Rover's mouth?
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
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 Let the dogs bark. The time's coming. God's going to shut their mouth. Glory.
Amen.
Midnight's coming.
Yes.
Midnight's coming.
Yes.
And somebody's going to praise the Lord because of His righteous judgment.
Yes.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
And Glenn brought this out the other night in Ezekiel 9. How many know that God is seating a people? They're intercessors. They're taking the true mark of God. How many know that's the mark we need?
Yes.
Is the mark of God as we intercede. So the sons of God are sealed as they seek God. Three S's there. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
One other scripture. Let's go there. 1 John chapter 2. I'll just give you this. 1 John chapter 2. I'm sorry, two more scriptures. Well, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, he's talking about the unction of the Holy Spirit, knowing all things. Then in verse 26, now look at verse 26, he's talking about the spirit of Antichrist here in chapter 2. These things have I written to you concerning them that what? Seduce you, literally lead astray or deceive. But the anointing, oh hallelujah, which you have received of him, come on, abideth in you. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him.
Yes.
We need the anointing to overcome the spirit of Antichrist. Amen? One other scripture in Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 12. He's just warned us about the mark of the beast, those who worship the beast and his image and mark and so forth. Then in verse 12, here is the patience, literally, of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And notice, their works do follow them. Notice three things here to overcome this mark. If you go back to verse 9 and come on down, you'll see. We need God's patience. We need His faith, and we must keep His commandments. Amen? To overcome the beast. Can you say amen?
Amen.
My. Just so much. Praise God. And I'm going to read off a few things connected with this Antichrist in closing. Not looking at no more scriptures. How many know with the Antichrist you have the bottomless pit?
Yes.
He comes. The Spirit comes out of the pit. You see, the Antichrist is a man, a spirit, and a kingdom. And in that bottomless pit, there was the one over it was Apollyon that sister's been talking about, Abaddon,
yes,
which means destruction. How many know that when you deal with the Antichrist, you're dealing with betrayal? How many's ever felt like you were betrayed? Come on. Sure. How many know that the spirit of Antichrist is the God of self? I am God. You ever heard that teaching? There are people I've heard them say, I am God. Well, they better go on down the railroad track because I don't believe it. I mean, no. Come on, amen. I've heard of it. One lady one time, Bill and I knew this lady. And so there was a burglar appeared, you know, in her window and kind of scared her or something. And I think she had a big old gun in her house anyway. But somebody told her the next day, now, if that guy comes back, you just get up and shout, I am God. Well, that's a lie.
That's right.
Hmm? With the beast, it's false worship. Apostasy, liar. I mean, so much I like to preach here. Denying the Father and the Son. Well, I got to get on out of here in a minute. Seduction. Seduction is another part of this Antichrist. False doctrine, murder. That's just so much we're talking about. Iniquity, lawlessness, rebellion. Son of perdition, Judas, you see. Opposes and exalting itself against God, the carnal mind, you see. Overcoming the saints. How many know there's a warring of the Antichrist against the real people of God? There's a war. There's a war going on. Amen. There's so many things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many want to be an overcomer? Brethren, it's not enough to just talk about it. God's going to see that we overcome if we're going to be overcomers. And you're going to be faced with situations. And I like what Brother Ludicky said, that when you go overseas, how many know you've got to have your armor on? Or wherever you go, of course that goes. Because you face things when you travel overseas that are different. And you've really got to have the armor of God on. Amen. You've got to have people praying with you and standing with you. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. How many has ever been under ministries that you felt imparted things to you that was divination? Let's stand.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Anything tonight that I've touched on here and you feel that God has spoken to you tonight, I want you to come to the front.
Hallelujah.
Divination, insanity, all these, I don't have to quote them over. Praise God. Anything with the Antichrist, because we're going to minister deliverance. Come right up. Come on, obey the Holy Ghost. Step out. I know Reba wants prayer for Antichrist, the Antichrist thing. She talked to me yesterday about that. I mean, no, that's in people.
Mm-hmm.
Antichrist is in people. Come on. the false prophet ministry, divination, madness, insanity. You ever been in those ministries? Come on up and get some help tonight. Obey the Holy Ghost.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.